this morning when I walked in, the very first person I saw was Rick, who was leading us in the recitation this morning. And he said he was glad to see me. I said, well, you don't know. I'm so happy to see you. I'm glad that you are here. I have been in a place as a pastor. I've never been a music leader or a music person at all, but I've been in a place where I've had to lead music before, and it is not, it does not sound very pretty, and it is not a pretty sight either. And so I'm so thankful. Thank you so much for that gift that you gave us, Rick, and I really am glad that you're here, as well as everybody else that was up here this morning. Glad that y'all have made it today. I want to invite you into a scripture reading that comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, this is the scriptures that I was sharing with our children this morning, but Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 5 and then continue through verse 15. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. It's the updated edition. And so Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5 and continuing through verse 15. You can follow along with the, you'll see it on the screen there, but I invite you, you can follow along with your favorite translation as well. And this, once again, is Jesus who is speaking. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. And truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then verse 7. And when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, or you think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father in heaven, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we do give you thanks for these words. Words that you are speaking in our very midst. And we pray and ask that as our hearts are open before you, that these words may become living words. We pray, O God, that you may give us eyes so that we may see those moments and those impressions that are so easy to overlook. We pray and ask that you will give us ears so that we may hear, not only from each other, not only the phrases that we heap up in our own midst, but we pray and ask that we may hear from you, that we may hear that voice that often comes very small and very still. And Lord, I thank you for the words that you have spoken into my heart. And I pray and ask, Lord, that as I speak this morning, that the words that I share, that they may be pleasing, and that they will be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. You know, I spent some time, rather amazing time that I spent I grew up at a church called the Church of the Nazarene. Well, there would be times that in the summertime, there would be moments at this very remote, far out place that was called Calera, Alabama. There was a campground that was there. Now, several years ago, it was a little bit more remote than Calera is right now. But in that area, going down I-65, Interstate 65, going south on 65, just right off the interstate that was there. But I had an opportunity to spend some time there, and there would be a family camp that they would have. And in fact, it was that moment that I gave my heart fully to Jesus when I was at one of those family camps. And I would love to tell you that it was a moment like this, that it was a moment when we were sitting, I've been in a moment like this, But it was not a moment of being in the midst of a congregation. It was not the moment of coming down to the altar as a wonderful song like what you just heard as it was playing in the background. I was much too shy for that. It was walking across a gravel parking lot. It was walking across a gravel parking lot that I said this prayer and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. But that place was the youth building that was over here, and then what was called a tabernacle, but I got to tell you, it looked to me not like a tabernacle, but it looked like a gym that had folding metal chairs and a piano and an organ on the stage that was up there. But they called it the tabernacle, but it was walking in between those. And so when I had that moment, this is the place that I had that moment like that, but I remember going a couple of years later, so I've got high expectations of this place, and I love everything about this place just because of the moment of meeting Jesus that I had personally had there. So I've got all these high expectations, and there was someone who had an experience in Africa and was standing in that place in the tabernacle with the metal folding chairs, with the music that had stopped playing, and he stood at a pulpit that looked like this and had one of the most beautiful prayers that I had heard at that moment. And it was just amazing because as I was there, I was not praying at all, but I was sitting. Now this was sitting in those metal folding chairs and sitting out in the congregation, and he was standing in the pulpit and he was praying, and I couldn't pray at all just for listening to those words. And I remember walking up to him and coming up to him after he prayed one of those beautiful prayers that I'd heard at that moment in my life. And I said, you know, because I want to learn this stuff. I want to know how to do this. I want to know what this connection is like and everything about it. And so I remember walking up to him and saying, and I said, that's one of the most beautiful prayers that I've heard. And I said, tell me how you do it. Tell me how this happens and everything. And he simply said, it's all God's glory. And I said, well, I understand that. I know. I was persistent. I guess my best friends that were also with me at the time, they would say I was annoying and a little bit of a pest, but, you know, I wasn't ready to hear it's all for God's glory. I was saying, oh, there's got to be something else going on here. There's got to be more to this. There's got to be something that is taking place here. I said, you've got to tell me. And he just told me. He said, all for God's glory, all for God's glory. Now, I will also say this. I will also say that he was saying this in the most extraordinary and the most caring way that was possible. So it was not dismissive at all. But what I discovered is that when we come into this moment of prayer, that it truly is all for God's glory. At its most basic, and you heard our children saying this, at its most basic, prayer is simply communicating with God. I mean, that is something that no matter how young we are, that as we begin to understand words, as we begin to understand phrases, that prayer is communicating with God. Also, at its most complicated level, prayer is communicating with God. And because prayer is so important, and because there should always be, that when we are communicating with God, because there should always be this open line of communication with God, it would seem that we should never have to pause to say, when are the times that we should not pray? When are the times that we should not be in this place of praying? Now, if you remember, and maybe if you're learning, we are in a time right now in the season of the church. So a season that we call Lent is a season that after Ash Wednesday, when we do that rather ancient practice of taking burnt palm branches and taking the dust from those burnt palm branches that we celebrate with on Palm Sunday and smudging them on our forehead and reminding ourselves that we are mortal people. There were people who were born, we are also people who will die. We say those words that come to us and say, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But as we start that, as we do that on Ash Wednesday, which was a couple of weeks ago, we find ourselves in a season of the church that's called Lent. Now, essentially what it is it's 40 days, not counting Sundays, of moving closer and closer to Easter. And so now we're a couple of weeks into this. And so here at Grace Point, And in fact, my first Lent that I'm celebrating with you here at Grace Point as your pastor, that we are in this place of saying, well, these are 40 days that we're going to spend, and we're going to spend them praying together. These are 40 days that we are going to discover, what does it mean to pray the Grace Point way? Part of the prayer request that you were listening to, part of what we do together with our children. That's what it means to pray the Grace Point way. Recognizing that it's not only for people that are in the room, but recognize that we pray for one another. We pray for those who are not in this space. We also pray for our world, and we lift up our world. But one of the things that I've invited you to do, and started last week, is to take these words from Scripture that Jesus offers on the cross. They come from Luke chapter 23, verse 46. They say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Now you may remember, if you have heard those words before, you may remember those are words that Jesus says when he's dying. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. But in fact, what Jesus has done is invited all of us as followers throughout all of our lives to be able to come to God in our communication with God, in our prayer with God, and being able to be in that place and say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, to recognize that we are able to bring our whole selves, to recognize that we're able to bring our whole spirits into God's hands in a moment of prayer, and to just let our whole lives be in God's presence. Imagine that. Imagine a lifetime of prayer with this vision in mind, coming into God's presence with your whole spirit. This is really when prayer is able to become life-changing for us and able to become transformative. And also, as I was reminded on that one day in Calera, it's also a moment when it's able to bring glory to God. If you take a look at the words that we have just read today, the words that I was trying to act out a bit with our children this morning. But if you take the words that we've just read from the Gospel of Matthew, this is part of a long discourse, part of a long teaching, as part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is offering in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew does a wonderful job of showing us the Sermon on the Mount, and so this is part of it. But when you pray, as you encounter God, as Jesus was saying, notice this, notice how matter-of-factly and how instructional these words are. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. I can remember. I remember one of my children in middle school asked me one day, came home from school, we were not talking about anything to do with church or anything to do with everything that's happening this morning. But you know, one of the great things about the way that God's Holy Spirit works in our lives, all those things merge in and out of our lives. So there's no time that you know you're not ever connected to the church. But a middle schooler came home and they said, my middle schooler came home and one of them said, what's a hypocrite? Now, I got to tell you, as you know, as what I am a pastor, so I've been trained in this, so I know what a hypocrite is. But in that moment of being a dad and being a father, I wanted to say, well, a hypocrite is every other middle schooler that you encounter at school. that every middle schooler that you come across, that's a hypocrite. That's what a hypocrite is. Now I'm talking about, when I'm talking about middle school, now this is, for us, it's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So those are the ages, and so maybe you have encountered those hypocrites. Jesus, on the other hand, has a more nuanced view of what a hypocrite is. When Jesus is offering this very instructional, this very practical teaching about prayer, he says, do not be like the hypocrites. Now, for Jesus, a hypocrite, and this is where it's extraordinarily helpful to know something about the world that Jesus encountered, because, in fact, the ancient Greek, at its most literal, a hypocrite is someone who is wearing a mask. Now, most often, it will be in the first century world, it will be an actor who is wearing a mask, which is exactly while I was sharing that with our children this morning, that horse mask that I adorned in front of them this morning. Because when Jesus is inviting us to not be like a hypocrite, essentially what Jesus is doing is what I hope, that when the horse mask went back to the pew, that our children will always remember in their lives, is that when we do come to a place when we pray before God, we don't have to keep up our guard. We don't have to be the people that we pretend that we are. We don't have to be the people that our teachers in middle school expect that we are, our parents expect that we are, that we are able to come into God's presence and we are able to come exactly as we are. We don't have to be cleaned up. We don't have to be put together. We don't have to be anybody else but who God has invited us to be at that very moment. And so again, prayer is being in a place where we are able to command our entire spirits into God's hands. And so again, it's so helpful to know this from the first century, is that we don't have to wear a mask when we come into a place where we're praying to God. And that other thing that I know made every parent that had a child that was sitting up here this morning, had them shift a little bit in their pew as they were here, maybe even some of the parents that are watching online today too, but when I said, hey, do you ever think that we talk too much in church? Do you ever think that we lift up those empty phrases? Do you ever think that we heave too many words on each other when we come to church like that? Jesus again, and it helps us because Jesus is much more nuanced than I am as a father and in my parenting, but Jesus helps us a great deal in this moment, because what Jesus invites us to see is that as the Gentiles, which as Jesus is talking about in the Gospel of Matthew, as Jesus is talking about the Gentiles, he's talking about nations that are outside of Israel. He's talking about every other. Imagine the rest of the world that is outside Israelite people, outside of Hebrews, outside of Jewish people, is what he is commonly talking about, particularly here in Matthew chapter 6. But when he talks about this, he says, you will notice this. There are people that love to offer these empty phrases. There are people that love to offer these long-winded words when they're in prayer. But you, do not be like that. You resist that temptation, and you recognize that the words and the phrases that you should use when you come to prayer are not talking too much, but is letting your whole heart down. You, the great gospel news that comes out of this, and I've tried to do it, I've tried to twist a little bit and have you to think for just a little bit, what are some of those moments when Jesus tells us clearly when we should not pray and how we should not pray? But some of the things that emerge from these passages of Scripture is that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And also your Father God already knows your need even before you ask him. And so what Jesus invites us to do, and again, I've tried to capture that moment of when not to pray, but what Jesus is doing is by offering these warnings and offering a little bit of guidance here and some very clear and direct teaching, he's reminding us that we can let our mask fall off when we come before God, because the God that we are coming before, who sees in secret, is going to offer us reward. And also, it doesn't matter if we are praying beautiful and eloquent prayers, because truly it is for the glory of God when we enter into prayer, and before we kneel, before we bow our heads, before we fold our hands together, God knows our needs. And isn't that the very moment that we want God to meet us in prayer? Is that when we have a need that is so great and so overwhelming that there is nothing else that we can do in this world about it, don't we want a God who is going to meet us there? And thanks be to God that Jesus reminds us that God already knows that need even before we make the first gesture even before we're able to close our eyes or bow our heads. So does this mean? Does this mean that God is inviting us to think about the motivation that we have? To think about the attitudes that we have even before we come to that act of prayer? And the answer is absolutely. Yes, we are invited. Yes, we are invited to think about what we are bringing to God in prayer. And you may say, well, wait a minute. Don't we just meet God exactly where we are? Don't we just come into God's presence? What Jesus is inviting us to remember is that far too often we come to God, and as much as we try to hide it, we come to God with a mask that needs to fall. And as much as we try to hide it, as much as we get used to it, we do oftentimes pray some phrases that we've just grown accustomed to and that have just really become not phrases that lead to the glory of God, but phrases that are just heaped up and they're empty in God's presence. And what Jesus invites us to do is to come and bring our whole spirit before God and to rest everything about our lives in God's hands. And that God who sees us in those secret places is going to reward us. And that God who knew what we needed before we came is also the God that is going to answer and answer quickly those prayers. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Everlasting God, we are grateful. We're grateful, oh God, for the mask that you have already led us to drop in our own lives. And even in this moment, Lord, for those masks that you remind us of, we pray and ask that you will give us enough courage and enough strength to come before you and let those fall as well. And we also pray, O Lord, that you will forgive us for those times that we have, well, Lord, out of routine or just out of tradition or just out of, Lord, not knowing what to say, those times that we have heaped up too many empty phrases before you, those times that we have, well, when we have tried to perfect our technique rather than come to you in prayer. And we thank you, O God, for this moment. We thank you for this season in our lives, a season with the resurrection on the horizon, and also a season, Lord, of knowing that you are preparing our hearts right now. Lord, continue to meet us in prayer. Continue to let us put our whole spirit in your hands. And continue, O God, not only to hear the prayers that we lift up for our own lives, for our own church, for our own community, but hear us in the prayers that we lift up for our world. And for those, Lord, who are far from you, we pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us one more time as we lift up this prayer from our hearts to our Savior.